So today I'm talking to Tiffany Bentley of Detroit, a fellow survivor. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you doing today?
I'm well. Thank you so much for having me.
Yes. First of all, I want to say that you have two daughters, which I do too, so I can totally relate when it comes to that.
I do. Two daughters who are currently 17 and 13, and I'm just excited to be a part of their lives.
You know what? Me too. Mine are 22 now and 15, and you know, I know you and I both fought to be here for them. So,
yes.
All right. Yes. So, Tiffany, can you tell me how long you've been a survivor?
So it has been about 7 years. Mm-hmm. I was diagnosed in 2016. At that time, it was stage one, HER2 positive, and ERPR negative. Mm-hmm. So I am happily celebrating 7 years of health.
Oh, absolutely. And you were 37 at the time of diagnosis, right?
Correct. 37, yeah.
Yep. I think I was diagnosed just around the age of 40, but I definitely know people who are younger than myself, around your age and even younger, who have also gotten breast cancer. So, you know, it's hard to find out at any age, really.
Yeah, and I didn't even have any symptoms. So uh-huh. It's like 37 through 40, we're living our lives, raising our kids, you know, tending to our families. That wasn't even something on the radar. So,
yep. And so how did you find out about your diagnosis?
Yeah, so I went for a routine pap smear. Mm-hmm. And my doctor decided at that appointment that he would perform a breast exam. Mm-hmm. And it was just normal, you know. And I was 37. During that exam, he found what he called a cyst. So, you know, nothing to worry about. Hey, you're about the age for a mammogram. I'll schedule you for a mammogram. Don't worry. You know, there was nothing behind this visit that caused me to operate in any level of fear, mm-hmm. right? I didn't have any symptoms, no family history. Well, further down the line, but nothing close. And once I went for the mammogram, they found a great deal of evidence of cancer. I had the biopsy, and it came back that it was malignant.
Oh, I know it's so hard to get that diagnosis. And you said that yours were as small as a rice grain.
Right. So what my doctor felt was a rice grain size cyst. So that's how he was able to say, hey, let's just go get this AKA cyst checked out.
Right.
But when I went for the mammogram, they found a trail of calcification from the tip of my rib cage to the end of my nipple.
Oh, wow.
So that was really the concerning part. So I was thankful for the cysts, because they had not formed, those calcifications had not formed into tumors.
Right.
And so my doctor was projecting that had we not had found the cyst, those calcifications would have formed. And by the time they found it, we could have been at stage four. So I'm thankful.
I know, right? Early detection is so, so important. Yeah. What were your thoughts when you were diagnosed?
Oh, my God. I was scared. I was fearful. I was uncertain. And my personality is kind of bottom line. So I just kind of immediately went to, well, I guess I'm going to die. You know, that was like my first thought of cancer equals death. I didn't have any, you know, preparation for this. I just kind of jumped into my emotions. But after I settled down and just kind of got myself together and the way I received my results was kind of wacky. But once I got the full pathology report, understood my treatment plan, I felt a whole lot better. And here I must say that it was because of my faith. I was able to kind of tap into my faith and let God heal me. And that's where I was able to draw my strength from.
And so you said that you contacted someone who is a breast cancer survivor themselves to find out what you should do. And what was their suggestion?
So I was initially, because my gynecologist was through Providence, and he had recommended I see a Providence doctor, which I didn't know. You know, you don't know what you don't know. So when I reached out to the friend who had went through this process, she advised that I go to Carmanos. I don't know anything about Carmano. So, okay, I trust my friend. Mm-hmm. I knew she knew what this was about. When she said that you should see a Carmanos doctor, I said, okay. She said, you need to get a second opinion. I said, okay. She said, the only thing is this doctor is highly busy. You probably won't get an appointment. I said, okay, well, I'm just going to try. in the meantime, I also called my mom, and she advised, hey, you need to go to Carmanos. Okay, so now I see a confirmation. So both persons that I trust has advised that I go to Carmanos. I called, and guess who the doctor that my mother advised that I see was the same doctor that my friend told me I should call.
Oh, wow.
So, and they don't know each other, so it wasn't like they talked.
Right.
So when I called to get an appointment with this doctor, guess what? There was an appointment that Monday, and I was not expecting to get an appointment. So I did get the second opinion, and that doctor confirmed the same thing that the Providence doctor told me. But I felt so much more comfortable at Carmanos. They had a whole lot of different explanations and just made me feel warm. And so I chose to go with the Carmanos doctor.
Yeah. What type of treatment did you have? I see here you had a mastectomy. Who was that with and what was that like?
That was with Dr. Choi.
Yeah.
And that was an amazing experience. Although it was, you know, I was losing something that I've had all of my life,
right.
A part of my body that was a part of me. That detachment process was absolutely a journey. But then, you know, God has a way of changing your perspective and helping you see that silver lining. I was born with big breasts.
Mm-hmm.
So the ability, I started looking at it like, oh, this is a breast reduction. And now I get to wear the cute shirt. And now I can wear the cheaper bras
right.
and things of that nature. So after I got over the hump of what this was really going to mean and what my new normal was going to look like, there was almost an excitement to say, this is an opportunity to start over. You know,
right.
I wanted a breast reduction, not this way, of course, but this way and the way that Dr. Choi handled me and prepared me, it made things that much more better for me.
And I see that you also did chemotherapy and targeted therapy as well.
Yes, I did 12 rounds of Taxol, something that they consider chemo light.
Right.
With Dr. Flaherty. Again, Dr. Flaherty and his team, going to chemo was kind of like my girl's night out. I would dress up. I would make my face up. I never wanted to look like what I was going through.
Exactly.
And even when I arrived, like the medical team was waiting on us. You know, they give you your own room. They give you snacks. We're laughing. We're talking.
Mm-hmm.
We're watching movies. So I just tried to make lemonade out of lemons. I refused to go through it. You know, there were days, of course, where, you know, everything didn't line up. But even then, in those moments, the team was there way beyond just a nurse. They were actually supportive.
I'll say I dressed up as Superwoman every single chemo treatment myself, with a cape and everything, just to kind of keep things, you know, lighthearted. And I found these little pins that said superheroes and scrubs, and they had like, you know, the little stethoscope and everything. And so I gave those all out to the doctors and stuff during my treatment as well. So I totally feel you when you're trying to make, you know, lemonade out of lemons. So.
Oh, my God. We're sisters.
I'm telling you, because I also read in your story. I clicked the link to read on Carmanos' website about your story. And I was like, you know, I feel her when she says that you're like, what's the plan? Let's get this done. You know what I mean? Because
right.
I was the same way.
Right.
Like, all right. So how do we move forward in this process? Let's just do this and get it, you know, and try and move past it. So and stay positive the whole time. Right. Right. So I know you talked a little bit about the staff and how great they were with you. But how did the doctors make you feel at Carmanos?
Oh, you know, it's almost I don't even have the words. Dr. Flaherty and the entire staff, Dr. Choi, Dr. Nava, all of the people that I worked directly with were amazing. It was a 5-star experience. It was so weird almost that, you know, Dr. Flaherty is even drawing pictures. Like he went to get this really big board and he was drawing pictures to help explain to me what I was about to go through. And even allow space to be human, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like it isn't the best news or the easiest news, but everybody was so optimistic. Everybody had such good bed manners. I mean, it was just, of course, I don't ever want to do it again,
right.
But I can say that I was in good hands from the beginning to the end. It was never a time where I felt like, Oh, here they go. I don't want to ask any more questions.
Right.
Always available. Call me whenever you need to. If you think of something else, let me know. And a lot of times, I'm sure you can relate. You might think of something on the way home, like, oh, I wish I would have asked
that.
And then you have to wait to the next appointment to ask. But no, I had the opportunity to reach out to my team whenever, even if I left it on a voicemail, they were going to be prompt about calling me back. So I appreciated that.
Me too, for sure. I understand also that you had your follow-up care at the Women's Wellness Clinic there too?
Correct.
And what is that like there?
So now it's kind of like a reunion. So, you know, when you're going through your process, you see these people every week. And then you kind of, you know, then you go from the 6 months to the 3 months to the year. And so now I only see these people once a year. And it's like, hey, how you doing? So it's almost like, and I was just there for my yearly. And it was, like I said, it was a reunion. Everybody remembers when, and we're still celebrating health, and, you know, we're catching up on what's going on and what's new. So even though I don't see those people directly and there's a new staff that I see, I'm still in good hands and still have that five-star experience. So I highly recommend Carmanos Cancer Institute.
Yeah, I mean, I went there and did some video stuff for them, and everyone was so fantastic. And you could tell, I mean, you know, I definitely saw patients that were going through treatment, but they seemed to be comfortable there, and the staff was really, really great with them. And that's so important during that time.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They were knowledgeable. They care. That's the bottom line. They care. I never felt like I was just a number or a patient.
Yeah.
It's more like family, and that's the environment that they created for me.
That's awesome. So I'm so glad to be here to talk to you today and that you're able to talk to me. And I just want to know, for you, having gone through breast cancer, you know, what does it mean to be a survivor to you?
Oh, my God. It means that God is good. And and I hate to make this, you know, something that is offensive or over the top, but that God was the reason why I am what I am. And and I remember asking him, you know, God, let me live so that I can raise my kids.
And
I know you know this feeling. And when he came back and reassured me that he was going to grant me life, it was like, there is no way I can keep him a secret, because if it had not been for him, I don't think I would have made it. So it means that we can say that life is hard, or we have had some experiences, but until you've had to face that one-on-one and then look back at it and see how you've conquered it, it's a whole other dimension. So it means life to me. You know, initially, as I said, you know, all I knew about cancer was you die. 20 years ago, it wasn't a lot of options for us. Here we are today. People are living great new lives as they conquer cancer. So I'm excited to be alive. And that's something that we might take for granted until it's taken, you know. So I'm just thankful.
Me too. I'm so grateful. I don't think I've been more grateful at any point in my life. I mean, I'm always, you know, trying to be, you know, show gratitude and everything for every moment. But I mean, especially this year for me, being 5 years cancer free with my triple negative diagnosis.
Congratulations.
The 5 year mark for triple negative cancer is a huge milestone. If it doesn't come back within that 5 years, then you're most, you know, it's most likely not to return. So I have shed many tears. I know that you have too.
Oh, man.
just gratitude, and I'm about to start it up again, the waterworks. But, you know, I know I'm so thankful for you being on the phone with me today. I'm thankful for the platform that I have to, you know, spread awareness and everything. So what would you like to tell other women about breast cancer screenings? And also, you know, if they do end up getting diagnosed, what do you have to say to them?
So I would say breast cancer screening saves lives. As I said in my story, if it had not been for the cysts, there would not have been a greater chance for me to survive, because I had calcifications, which aren't really tumors.
Right.
So that's nothing you can feel, per se. You know, you can do yourself breast examinations, which is good. I advise those too. But please, please, please get your screenings. And you thought, I've heard people say, well, I don't have any family history. Neither did I.
Right.
I don't have any symptoms. Neither did I. You know, that does, you know, it, so I would always rather be safe than sorry. I advise every woman, whatever age. I've known someone as young as 22 to be diagnosed with breast cancer. So please get your screenings. Please keep up with your screenings. This is something that you and I will have to do for the rest of our lives. Mm-hmm. And so I just say, please do it. And even if you do receive the diagnosis, it is a beginning. It is a way that God will give you another chance to live your life. So I say, go on the trip, write the book, do what you always wanted to do. I actually wrote a book.
I was just going to bring that up. You're a published author based on your story. What's the name of the book?
I am a published. The book is called When All Hell Breaks Loose, Take Cover and Pray.
Girl, where can they get the book at?
The book is found on Amazon. It's also on the Barnes & Noble's website. And we are in two bookstores in Detroit. But Amazon and the Barnes & Noble's website, you'll be able to find the book. And we're doing great things with the book. And so I'm happy to tell my story. I'm happy to help wherever I can. And all of us know what hell looks like.
Yes.
And yours might not be mine and mine might not be yours, but the bottom line is we can make it. And that's my hope to all women, that you and men, you know, you can make it through whatever life has brought you.
Oh, it has been such a pleasure to talk to you today, Tiffany. Go out and support Tiffany. What's the name of the book again?
When All Hell Breaks Loose, Take Cover and Pray.
Listen. Go out there, support her, buy the book. And I'm just so grateful to be able to talk to you today. And I'm thankful that you shared your story. I know that this helps. I don't know what else to say. I'm like getting teared up as we're talking, because there's so many things throughout your story that I completely relate with. And I hope that we can keep in touch.
Please keep my number, keep my information. If it's anything that I can do for anyone, especially you, please let me know. We are Pink Sisters, which is another thing that this community has afforded me, is the opportunity to love on people. I don't have to be a part of your blood family, but I already love you and feel a connection. So I'm just happy to know you.
You as well. Thank you so much, Tiffany.